Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and the message this morning is, be very, very quiet. Truly, this is what I'm hearing from the Spirit of God this morning. I believe that we are on track. I believe the Holy Spirit is leading the way. In fact, about 30 minutes ago, I was preparing for this meeting, and I shouted to Patricia, who was in the other room, and I said, pray in the Holy Spirit right now. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. And she began to pray in the Holy Spirit. I was praying in the Holy Spirit. And we just prayed in the Spirit for several minutes. And as we're praying in the Holy Spirit, I do what I always do when I pray in the Holy Spirit. I listen for interpretation. I allow the Spirit of God to formulate a thought in my mind or to bring a scripture to my heart. And as I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I grab my Bible and I close it. I was in the Gospel of John. I close it up with the thought coming through my mind, well, if there was a message there, then it will reappear again. I have much confidence in God and the Holy Spirit's power to lead us in the right way. And then, of course, I opened it up in when I just felt that opportune moment, that Kairos moment where everything is now ready and God could reveal what he wants to reveal. And he opened me up to a page we're going to go into today, and it's going to be a revisitation on something that I shared months ago and prepared. And if you've been following this radio broadcast, you'll know immediately what I'm talking about. And I found it absolutely amazing that the Spirit of God would bring this back into our memory. I wasn't even thinking about it this morning, but what I did hear this morning in my heart when I was listening to news about the violence in Chicago, and I was hearing about the earthquakes in Southern California, and I was hearing about Alaska shutting down their fireworks display because in Anchorage, Alaska, it hit 89 degrees. Doesn't get that hot. The hottest ever recorded. And I heard about the 44-year-old man that got struck by lightning in South Carolina. And I heard about the debate, how the left was praying for rain to rain on Donald Trump's parade over the weekend for the American salute or salute to America. And I watched all of this, and it's all this stuff going on. Iran, Syria, all these movements. And honest to God, I saw the finger of the Lord on the lips, and he just said, And what I interpreted that to mean, my wife can verify this. I had a word of knowledge from the Lord many years ago that an earthquake was going to strike from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. And on the news, they said it was from San Francisco to Las Vegas. I've been telling about a trance that I was caught into of angels going to Las Vegas and to San Francisco. You heard that last week. I shared it openly on the air. Now, San Francisco, Las Vegas. But rather than shouting, I just heard the Lord say, shh. These are the previews. Shh. We've had a tendency in the past to jump on and say, look what's happening. Here it comes. Shh. And then, before I get into what I believe the Holy Spirit has brought to my attention to share with you, and I believe you're going to say, this is a witness. This is meaningful to my life. This isn't just anything. We are called to feed the flock of God, right? That was the message we received on December 31st, New Year's Eve, when we gathered together at New Wine Ministries. The message was, feed my flock. Feed God's people. So we're not going to feed our own opinions, our own understanding or wisdom. We're going to feed the Word of God. That's what we are wanting to do. Now, what I was reading this morning was in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, very familiar passage, speaking of the born-again experience. But I want to share this with you. This really struck out in my mind. In John chapter 3, verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Now, this is right after Jesus talking about being born of the Spirit, being born of water, you know, all of these born-again experiences. And Jesus answered and said to him, are you a master of Israel, Nicodemus, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Oh, my God. There's so much mystery to be unveiled there, isn't there? Jesus is saying to this master in Israel, this teacher in Israel, you don't understand what I'm telling you about a born-again experience? Yes, that's a heavenly experience. That is something that was hitherto unknown to the mind of man. Think about that. In John chapter 3, when Jesus is saying, you must be born again if you're going to enter into the kingdom, that thought had never been revealed to the mind of man in over 4,000 years. And here is Yeshua speaking of the born-again necessity to enter into the kingdom of God, to enter in, to see, to perceive, to recognize, to embrace everything. And Jesus is giving this, and this master in Israel says, what are you talking about? We've never heard this before. And he said, well, how are you going to understand anything of heavenly value if you don't understand this? I mean, I'm talking to you about simple things, just the beginning of things. Jesus desires, the Holy Spirit desires to communicate heavenly things to you and to me. Wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing, I'm asking you to come into agreement with me that the Holy Spirit will reveal heavenly things to you. Now, oftentimes, we think that when the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, when we hear things like, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, you know, seek those things that are above, that heavenly things, we oftentimes think, well, those heavenly things have nothing to do with this earth, right? We're looking, saying, well, forget the things of the world that we live in. We just want to see heavenly things. Paul the Apostle saw heavenly things when he went into the third heaven. The Apostle John saw heavenly things when he went into the throne room of God. But guess what? When John went into the throne room of God, into the heavenly things of God, everything that he saw was being communicated to him of what was going to happen in the earth. In other words, to seek heavenly things does not necessitate an absence of what's going on in the earth. In fact, when we seek the heavenly things above, what God is doing, oftentimes they are a revelation to what's going to happen in the earth. The whole book of Revelation is a revelation of the things that must come to pass in the earth, and yet they were revealed in heaven. And so this is a principle that you and I need to understand. In other words, we could sit here and look at the news, listen to what's happening, watch all these things going on, and then we often say, well, let's interpret these by looking through the lens of Scripture, which is right, and that's good. But there's more to it than that. It's more than just reading the Bible and saying, aha, there's a earthly thing going on right here. There's an earthquake. Oh, the Bible says there'll be earthquakes in the last days. That is fine. That is good. But there's more to it, okay? And what is it? It's the revelation of the Spirit communicating a message from heaven to earth. A communicated message. Remember, God is in heaven. Christ is in heaven, but the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the heavens impact the earth. There's no doubt about that, correct? So when God reveals something from heaven, when we are taken in the Spirit, like John, into heaven, he reveals things to our spirit of what will be in the earth. Now, I'm preparing for this message this morning on this Friday, July 5th, and I heard the Lord put his finger to the lips and say, shh, shh. And I knew a prompting of the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit. So I yelled to Patricia, honey, pray in the Spirit. And immediately she started praying in the Spirit. I could hear her. And I began to pray in the Spirit. I shut my Bible from John chapter 3. I wrapped it around my chest and gave it the biggest hug in the world. I know it doesn't come by osmosis, but I just knew that Word of God is so precious to our hearts. And as I'm praying in the Spirit, I just knew, just open this book. Now, I did hear something in my mind, came into my mind first, and then I just opened it up. And I haven't been here since a couple of months ago, and I want to read to you what the Lord said. Maybe if you've been following this radio broadcast, you'll be reminded of this, okay? And here is the word of the Lord. Now, you know and I know that summer began on June 21st, just 2 weeks ago, June 21st. You know and I know that I have said that 2019 will be a summer of violence. You've heard me say it several times. That's on me, okay? That's what I believe. So I open up, and immediately I see it all underlined, and there it is, Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, and here's what it says. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. Now, first of all, what you have to understand is that God is showing the prophet Amos something from heaven. When God shows you something, it's coming from the heavenly perspective, all right? And if we don't understand earthly things, how are we going to understand heavenly things, is what he said to Nicodemus. So in Amos chapter 8, verse 1, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and what was it? Behold, a basket of summer fruit. Yes, I've preached on this. I've preached on this on radio, on this internet radio station, behind the pulpit, the basket of summer fruit. This was the declaration that we made way back at the end of winter, beginning of spring, that this is a prophetic word for the summer of 2019. And he showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people. And in that prophetic season, it was Israel. It has dual meaning, all prophecy does. What Jeremiah talked about, the destruction of Babylon, that it would never be inhabited again, has not yet been fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled in Revelation 18. Both Rome, that was considered Babylon, is still inhabited today, and Iraq, that was Babylon in the days of Jeremiah, is still inhabited today. There is a destruction of Babylon coming that will never exist again as we enter into the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. There will be no more Babylon, I guarantee it. Babylon will never be inhabited again. Okay? So he says, an end is come upon my people. I will not again pass by them anymore. All the songs, and this is now Amos chapter 8, verse 3, the songs and the songs of the temple, okay, shall be howlings in that day. Now you have to look at the temple in the days of Israel and the churches in the days of now. And that word howling there will be howlings, is a wailing tone. A wailing tone. Now this is going to get a little bit more intense as we go, because he said that the songs of the temple shall be howlings, wailings, in that day, saith the Lord. What day? The day when the end comes, when God is about to move dispensationally to bring something to an end, and it was the end of that generation, Israel, it was over. It was done. They were going into judgment, period. And he said, that time is going to be a very difficult time, and the Lord God, there shall be many. So this is Amos 8:3. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. They shall cast them forth. Now, this dead bodies in the Hebrew is the, they call it the pegir or the pegger, and it simply means a limp carcass or carcass, whether man or beast. Figuratively, it represents idolatrous images. Okay, there will be many dead bodies in every place. We talked about this a few months ago. Verse 4 says, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, now here was the problem. Remember, this was the problem that God saw amongst his people at this time, saying, this is what the people were saying. When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small, now listen, and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. Wait a second. Weren't we just talking a few days ago about God revealing the black horse four times in the city of Chicago, the black horse, the black horse, the black horse, the black horse, and we went to Revelation chapter 6 and we looked at the black horse, had a pair of balances in his hand, and then we realized that the writing on the wall in the book of Daniel, that you've been weighed in the balance and have been found lacking. Well, here we are again in Amos chapter 5, and the people are basically saying, when is this new moon going to go away? When is the Sabbath going to end so that we can set forth our wheat, and making the ephah, or the amount of wheat, small, and the shekel, the money, great? In other words, food shortage. A little bit of food for a lot of money. And the last part of Amos chapter 8, verse 5, and falsifying the balances by deceit. That's what they were doing. Okay, now I thought, all right, here it is again. We heard about this new, this minimum solar effect. Okay, we're still learning about that. We have a lot more to learn about that. We're seeing that crops are being wiped out. We're seeing signs in Walmart stores telling the customers, we don't have this product anymore, and we're going to do our best to get it back to you. I had a friend actually send me, Brother Michael sent me a picture in Northwest Arkansas region, and then a friend of his in Oklahoma, the same picture, I actually have it on my phone, I need to find it and share with you, these signs saying, we don't have the product. We don't have it, but we're going to work hard to get it back, because there was a shortage. Now, again, here we are the same week talking about the falsifying of balances. In other words, all the people wanted to do was get rich by falsifying the balance. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the black horse rider, he's got a balance in his hand as well. All right. And it's talking about famine. It's talking about the price of a dinar, you know, a little thing of wheat for a whole bunch of money. And that seems to be what God is saying is coming because of the disasters that are going to be taking place. Verse 6 goes on to say this, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. In other words, give them the worst stuff. Give the people food without nutrition. Give them food that hasn't even been sanctified. And again, I will remind our listeners that over 10 years ago, I sat in a booth in Bentonville, Arkansas, with three other brothers, and the lead man of food distribution around the world for Walmart wept with tears coming down his eyes and said, very soon we will have on our shelves in America a quality of a third world food supply. Because he was telling us the truth, which he should never have done. He probably said, what did I tell these people? But the anointing of God was there, and the Spirit of God was there to bring understanding of what was happening. So now, they're not only falsifying the scales and giving just a little bit of wheat for a lot of money, but they're giving them the worst wheat, not even the healthy wheat. All right, so this was the condition of their heart and mind. Today, we boast that our economy is such and such, right? We're boasting, and this is all around money and everything. Verse 7 of Amos chapter 8 says this, the Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. And then verse 8, shall not the land tremble for this? Now, the word tremble is the ragaz, and it means to quiver with any violent emotion. There's the summer of violence again, the word of violence again. But listen to this. It means to quiver with any violent emotion, especially anger or fear. In other words, to stand in awe, to disquiet, to fret, to provoke, to quake, to rage, to shake. To trouble. We just saw an earthquake and they're concerning that. Shh. Shh. Let me remind myself. Shh. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? The word mourn is aval, and it means to bewail, to lament. To play the mourner. Lamentation. Woe. Right? And then in continuing in verse 8. And it shall rise up holy. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. As a flood. What will rise up holy as a flood? Well, the canal. The trenches. The brook, the stream, the river. What's going to rise up holy as a flood? It shall rise up holy as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. What? The food supply, the wheat that they were going to sell and keep the best for themselves, give the worst to the people, skyrocket the prices, and yet it was going to be wiped out by a flood. What? Verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God. Now watch, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. I want to remind our listeners that on 9/11/2001, it was a very clear day in New York City on that Tuesday morning between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. It was a very clear day. And yet, I will darken the earth in the clear day. Will it be a supernatural sign from heaven, like a solar eclipse? Will the sun stand still for an entire day on the positive side of things? Will God darken it? How is he going to do it? I don't know. I don't know. But in verse 10, it says this, and I will turn your feasts into mourning. Uh-oh. Now we're dealing with the feasts. We've already celebrated Passover. We've already celebrated the first fruits and unleavened bread, right? We did those. And then the fourth feast was Pentecost. And now we know that there's 4 months of summer. And then comes the fall feast of trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles, right? The first four feasts have already been fulfilled. Well, he says here, right after the summertime, right? And I will turn your feasts into mourning. I will turn your feast into mourning. And again, the word mourning is the avel, and it means lamentation. Lamentation. Now watch, it's going to get more intense here as we go. This is only a repeat. That's why I'm not going into too much detail. It's a repeat of what God has already said months ago. And it's coming up through prayer this morning. I'll turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation, or the kina, kina. It'll be a dirge as accompanied by beating the breast. Again, lamentation, beating the breast. You see, the people were, where were their minds? Listen, where was the mind of the people at this time? Their mind was, get this full moon over. Get this Sabbath over so that we can make money. Their heart and their mind was on money to such a degree that they were willing to serve to their own brethren the worst of the wheat, charge them more than it was necessary. They falsified the balances, and all these people wanted to do was continue on to make themselves rich. Everything was about the money. And God says, listen, I'm going to bring this to mourning and lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins. Sackcloth? What is that? That is worn in mourning or humiliation. That's when they wore it. It was for mourning or humiliation. You see, what happens when there's pride and then God moves against that pride, it will cause the proud to be humiliated. And God says, I'm going to bring this humiliation upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof as a bitter day. A bitter day is at the door. Shh. Shh. I have to remember. This is the word of the Lord. God's telling the prophet a heavenly thing. You say, well, this is all about what's on the earth, but it was revealed from heaven. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wants to reveal heavenly things to God's people. He wants to show us what shall be. And that's really what prophecy is all about. And he's not showing the picture of the millennium at this time on the earth. He's not showing what shall be in the future after the destruction of Babylon, after the destruction of the false prophet, after the great tribulation, after World War III in the second trumpet. You see, he gave John the revelation of heaven of the things that must come to pass in the last days before the Lord will return, a consistent theme throughout Scripture. Before the Lord will return, these things must be. But a people who want nothing but money and prosperity and success and to live in the vanity of this life, they don't like this message. They want the stuff of the earth, and it keeps them preoccupied in their mind so that they never really cross all the way over and into what God is really doing. I mean, this is very intense, what the Lord is revealing. Then he says, and here it is. This is the heavy. This is verse 11. This is what we've been talking about. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Now, you know, you're not going to see rioting until you see a food shortage. But watch this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Immediately we think of food and water, right? That's coming. That's definitely a part of this whole thing. The black horse, definitely. But he says, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You're going to hear a lot of men's opinions. You're going to hear a lot of people saying a lot of different things. But God is bringing a famine so that they will not hear the word of the Lord. There will people say, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. But it will not measure properly to a God of justice and a God of judgment and a God of mercy and grace and love. There will be saying to God, God bless something that is cursed. They will say to the disobedient and the rebellious and the blasphemous, everything is going to be all right. You see, that doesn't work. You can't live in a nation that has authorized the mass murder of multiplied millions of innocent babies and then God bless America. You cannot bless a nation that has authorized homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism and say, we're going to bless these people within our nation when God calls it an abomination. You can't do that. That is falsifying the balances of divine justice. When a nation sins like Israel sinned and God moves, God never changes. Covenants change, God never changes. All that come to him by way of faith in Jesus Christ, he will forgive and have mercy and restore. But a nation that blasphemously contends with God, and the people say, God bless them, and all the people just want the money, this is a problem. So a famine of hearing the words of God is worse for the Christian community than an actual famine of bread. Why? Because if you don't have the word of the Lord, you're in deception. In the last days, there will be tremendous deception. I believe this is true. I'm not making this up. This is God's word. And verse 12 says, and they shall wander from sea to sea. And that's very interesting. We have songs about from sea to shining sea. They shall wander from sea to sea. And I had a vision of Katrina times 1,000, where the refugees would be scattering across this nation from sea to sea. From the north, even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Now, good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you on this fine day? You're going to say it right one more day to get it right. Good morning. How are you, darling?
How did you know that? Yes, one more day to get it right. This morning, Pastor Vincent woke up with a word from the Lord. That word was hush. Let me go back to that, because immediately I went into scripture, because I know that it must be backed, any word from God, whether a word of knowledge, prophecy, a word of wisdom, it must be backed by scripture. The Lord led me to Habakkuk 2:20, and it reads in this way, "But the Lord is in his holy temple." Yes, he is. He's in his holy temple in the heavenlies, and in the people in which he really truly has received as his abiding place. "Let all the earth keep silent before him." That word silent, translated Hebrew, is hush. What is it saying? It's saying that the stone and wood and idols of the nations, in other words, pagantry, are silent before people because they have no voice. They have no voice. They're false gods. But the people of the world are to be silent before the true God who is about to judge. I believe the Lord is saying this is what is ready to take place. Now, I would like to go to Zechariah. And I'm going to do this in the Living because it clarifies it so well. Zechariah 2:13. "Be silent before the Lord." In other words, translated, hush. "Be silent before the Lord, all humanity, for he is springing into action from his holy dwelling." Oh my goodness, he is ready to spring into action. And what is that saying? I'd like to read it from the beginning of the book of Zechariah, not the beginning, but verse 8. So first of all, I'll go back to 13. "Be silent, O all our flesh, for the Lord, he is raised up out of his holy habitation." Now I'm going to verse 8. "For thus say the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye." That's you and me, body of Christ, and all who believe in the Lord. "For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants." Those who are doing evil, they're going to be a spoil. Those who are helping evil, they're going to be the servants are going to be a spoil. "And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." That's us. That's us and every Jew who calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ as his Messiah. "And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee." It is at the door. We are being prepared. We are hearing the words of God speaking to us loudly and clearly, but telling the world to hush because he's ready to come strong. "Be silent, hush, O all flesh, before the Lord. For he raised up out of his habitation." In other words, he raised up to judge. Now, the hush translation in Hebrew means curbing speech, God holiness of, respect for God's character, speech, power, and significance, things stopping and rebuking.
Wow, Patricia, I so deeply appreciate you putting that together. And listen to this. This is a connection, because you did that. I want to read out of Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, and I'm just going to pick it up in verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turns the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth, the Lord is his name, that strengthens the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress." Now watch. "They hate him that rebukes in the gate, and they abhor him that speaks uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them." Here it comes. Wait for it. "You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate." You ready? Here it is. Verse 13, Amos 5. "Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time." The word prudent there, where it says that the prudent shall do this, it's the circumspect, the intelligent, those that will have good success. It means the wise, those that have wisdom and guide wittingly. In other words, they will look and behold. And this morning, and thanks to your looking up that and confirming the word, Patricia, here there's an actual scripture right in Amos. I hadn't thought of it. I hadn't seen it, but there it is. "Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time." That is, the silence, by the way, is the daman, and it means they'll be dumb, to be dumb. In other words, to be astonished, to stop, to quiet oneself, to wait, to tarry, to be still. This is the word of the Lord today.
It is the word of the Lord. You know, we had the celebration of the 4th of July yesterday, and that celebration is involved with freedom. But we understand and know who we are in Christ Jesus, and that in him is true freedom, and in him alone is true freedom. But America's story cannot be as adequately told without including the prominent role of religion, and in particular the Christian faith, has been an essential component of America's greatest and exceptional use of term and use of life. So America's future has been rapidly captured, and the desire for the religious freedom we have has now slowly been dying and taken away. And the nation is unfolding in a way in which they are loosening, being loosed from that which we have stood for. And the Lord is angry because the Lord loved this nation. And now he's rising up from his throne, and he is saying, "Hush, judgment is now at hand." I believe that's what you heard this morning by the power of the living God, by the Holy Spirit.
We've seen the waters boil and things get hot, and we shout it out. The boiling water has come, and the fuse is lit, the powder keg is ready to blow, and then it just went away. And today, God is just saying, with all these things going on round and about us, he's revealing things from heaven. He's imparting them to our heart to tell people on the earth. And I want to say this to my brothers and sisters out there today, whoever's listening, listen to me, please hear. I just, as Patricia was talking, this was a download. I want to tell you what is more valuable than money. Listen to me. And don't I ask you to do that very often. What is more valuable on this earth than money is fellowship. Please hear me right now. This is, I really believe this is the Father's heart. Fellowship, the communion of the saints, the ability to sit down with a brother or a sister and enjoy fellowship in the Word of God, fellowship in breaking of bread, fellowship in communicating the gospel, speaking to one another about the things of the Lord, sharing the revelation of the Spirit, sharing, imparting, encouraging, building up one another, caring for one another, encouraging each other to continue on during the dark and cloudy day, endure to the end, run your race, get up, don't be depressed, put your shoulders back, go and live brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy your moment on this earth as a light bearer, as an eternal spirit. You're going to go on forever. And I'm telling you that the most valuable thing, when Jesus said, "My commandment is that you would love one another," it wasn't just esoterical, philosophical love. He was saying, listen, the love I'm talking about is not your emotional feelings. The love that I'm telling you that will really work is your fellowship, the koinonia of the brethren, koinonia in the spirit. And to find like-minded brethren, and all you have to do to find a like-minded brother or sister is begin at the cross. A lot of people in this world, millions, have gone to the cross. And to be able to communicate with those who believe in Jesus Christ in sincerity, I tell you, it's fellowship. It's fellowship. Deep, spiritual, wonderful fellowship. We experienced it last night as Patricia was teaching out of her book and shared her testimony on the roundtable discussion. Yes, on July 4th, we gathered together. We had an amazing time in the Spirit, and we have been experiencing an amazing time in the Spirit. Let all the hoopla go. Let all the lights and all the stuff go on wherever. But what we are experiencing at New Wine Ministry is the koinonia of the Spirit. As men and women of God are gathering together, we are experiencing the presence and the glory of God. And this is the value. You could have all the money in the world and be the loneliest person on this earth and have been cut off from the communion of the saints. Patricia, I believe this with all my heart.
Oh, so do I, absolutely. And the darker it gets in the world, the brighter it gets in the church of those true believers that care to surrender all to our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see Russia and China and Iran, along with Islamic nations, and you see Europe and America on the world stage at the same time, get ready. The Antichrist is coming to produce a one world government, a one world religion, a one world currency, and the Lord is watching. You know, where there's a great cause for alarm, we do not fear the future, not us. Revelation is a drama of triumph for the church. It's not a horror story for us. It's the story of church, of Jesus Christ overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's the story of the church triumphant, overcoming death itself, hell, and the grave. It's the story of the rapture of the church. It's the right out of the living hell now being created by a godless society. By that, hush, and watch the glory of God for his church. Come on, body of Christ, rise up in faith. Be in that place of glory with your King, the King of glory. It is time. Satan is a defeated foe, And Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Mighty One of Israel. Hallelujah. And he is the soon, soon, soon coming King. Rise up in joy. Rise up in happiness. And receive your healing. Receive the power of God over your flesh, over the world's fearfulness to take from you and keep you in bondage. Receive the glory of God in your life today, because he has already overcome. And because he has already overcome these things, the world, the flesh, and the devil, so do we.
Amen. Patricia, I was just thinking as you were talking about the scripture that says, hurt not the oil and the wine. And I know there are physical things to that. But, you know, the enemy, the adversary of the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ, is always wanting to destroy the fellowship of the saints. He wants to break the communion of the saints. He wants to bring division and schism and all these different things. And yet God is saying, don't hurt the oil and the wine, the oil representing the anointing, the wine representing deliverance, according to the true Hebrew meaning of that word, wine. It talks about beyond the tirosh to the deliverance. And so God is saying, protect your fellowship. And when we think of fellowship, ladies and gentlemen, it's in my heart. I don't even know if it's in Patricia's heart at this time, but it's my heart. If I wanted to live out the rest of my days on this earth doing what I believe God has called me to do, it would be to continue on radio. It would be continue to broadcast. But I would like to do what Patricia and I did in the 1990s when we had an RV and we traveled over 100,000 miles across this country, and we started churches all over the United States of America. We traveled and started churches in the 1990s, home fellowships. And when I think about fellowship, I think about home fellowships, intimate gatherings of the elect of God who have been called, justified, sanctified, and glorified. We are the only people on this earth that have been called and justified and are being sanctified and will be glorified. It's already done in Jesus, but this is a fellowship among all the nations of the earth. Not everybody in this world has been called, justified, sanctified, and glorified, which means we're ready for the wedding feast. A glorified ecclesia, a glorious church, will be married to the Lord of glory. And we must, in the midst of all of this, return to the fellowship of the saints, the koinonia, not just in doctrine, but in spiritual intimacy and fellowship. And if it were up to me, I'd get an RV again. In fact, there's a beautiful RV ready to go right now, right here in Gravette. We just saw it the other day. It's only $239,000, but we would get in it. We would travel all over the country, going from one place to another, preaching and teaching the word of God and gathering together the saints like in the 1990s and begin these home fellowships, because we believe it's an end time reality. We want to start home fellowships right here in Northwest Arkansas. We would give up everything. We would give up everything to be able to hit the road. Not a lot of people want to do that. Not in retirement, not in selfish ambition, but to get in one of these vehicles and go, so we don't have to stay in hotels. We don't have to stay in people's homes. We just go from city to city, place to place, find the people that are hungry for the things of God, gather them together, establish pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists for the equipping of the saints, and then move on and do this. I would do that to the last days of my life, and I think it would be a wonderful thing. So if anybody out there wants to supply $239,000 for an RV so we could get on the road and do what God's called us to do, and while we're in that, we could continue to do our internet radio station as well. So I say that lightly, but as far as the home fellowships are concerned, that to me is a very deep, strong, it has substance to it of something we could be doing right now and encouraging those home fellowships to gather together, to get land, to plant gardens, dig wells, get some shelter, and prepare their arks. Oh, there's a vision connected to this. There's so much work to do. We're doing our best here in Northwest Arkansas. There's so much we want to do. And I hope there's so much you want to do in your life as well. But I want you to remember, you've been called, you've been justified, you're being sanctified, and you're going to be glorified. Meet for the Master's use, prepared as a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle to meet the Lord in the Feast of Tabernacles, the great wedding feast. This is the wonderful thing on the other side of the day. Your thoughts, Patricia?
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know. I think things are going to happen quickly and maybe too quickly to get involved in that. But if God calls it, if God says yes, I'm with my husband on it. You know that? Because that's the calling. And he knows the time. He knows the beginning from the end. So, yes, I will. I'll go. But I want to make it also clear as I can to get your house in order. Make practical preparations for famine. It's hitting. Food prices are going up every time I go to the store, and the word of God said it would happen in the book of Revelation, the four horsemen. And if I were you, I would collect bottled water and canned goods, can some of your own goods if possible. Pray with and for your family members and make sure they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. While we do not live in fear, we must be prepared. Our time grows shorter with every waking hour. Don't wait another second to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life if you haven't, and if you're listening, or to share with your lost friend, neighbor, or loved one the great plan of eternal salvation. Come on, let's go.
Amen, Patricia. And yeah, I wouldn't, you know, Abraham
and
Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, she went where Abraham went because God told him to go, right? So you remember that.
Yes,
and there's
yes.
only one time God told Abraham, listen to your wife, but I listened to you many times. Hey, listen, if you're listening to the broadcast, maybe you have a question or comment. We've got about 4 minutes to share. Sorry, we just ran out of time. If you're already on the line, 818-369-0326, we see a lot of people on the line. God bless you, saints of God. We're here to feed the flock of God. We hope that what we've imparted today was valuable to your spiritual growth and maybe some understanding of things you need to be doing. Maybe you have a question or comment. Just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right in. And it looks like we do have a caller, and it looks like it's Pastor Ken Wagner. Good morning, Pastor. How are you today?
Good morning, only it's Pastor Peggy.
Well,
good morning. I just wanted to share and confirm what you were hearing from the Lord this morning, back to the because the Lord took me to Malachi 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, where have I wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord.
Wow.
And he delights in them. So, and also, where is the God of judgment? And so I just want to confirm that was what God was stirring in me. You know, just he is weary. He is wearied with us calling evil good.
Wow.
And he is a God of judgment, and the judgment is coming.
And he says to be silent. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Peggy. We appreciate that.
Good.
God
word.
Bless you. And Pastor Ken, thank you for that word. God bless you.
Yes.
We have about a minute and a half left. We have a call coming in, 479-903. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor.
Elder George.
Oh, hello, George.
From
it's
Wisconsin.
Good to hear your voice.
God bless you, sir. What's on your heart?
Shush. Be quiet. And hear the Lord. What the Lord is speaking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a message.
Oh, praise God for his glory. He's telling us his heart.
Yes.
Thank you for calling. It's good to hear from you. We miss you very much.
All right. Turn to somebody right now, everybody out there, and just say, shh. Yeah, that's right. Just wait and see.
That's the technology. Like this. Yes.
George loves the technology, and I don't blame him. It's amazing technology. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time. Over at omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion going on right now, and we're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 5 seconds, Patricia Joy, what do you have?
And I thank God for your support. It has been helpful to us. Please continue. We have so much more to reveal to those that are wanting to hear.
Amen. God bless everybody. Love you, saints. Have a great weekend. And remember, just be quiet before the Lord. We'll see you on Monday, Lord willing. God bless. Shalom. Here it is right now, omegaradio.org. To be an overcomer, one must be prepared.